Now it's Food Friday. For some people, it's the season of baking, which means stocking our kitchens with butter and flour and sugar. But hold on. Our next guest says we can hold the sugar and the things we might use instead of sugar and get great sweet flavors from fruits, fresh, dried, or frozen, and other ingredients. You can join in at 800-642-1234. If you bake sweet treats, have you found ways to cut down on the amount of sugar or replacement sweeteners, or do what our guest does and try to use other ingredients, fruits, and other things to bring out their natural sweetness instead? Do you have questions about how to do this, maybe to make something particular that you love to make, you love to eat, but you don't want all the sugar? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Brian Levy is a pastry cook and author of the cookbook Good and Sweet. Brian, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Hi, thanks for having me.
You were inspired in this mission in part by a mango. Could you share that part of the origin story?
I was. I guess about almost 8 years ago now, I was eating a really sweet mango, and it just struck me that I should be able to make a dessert out of this another sweet fruits that without having to add any extra sugar, because it was every bit as sweet as I would want any dessert to be. So I thought there must be a way to make desserts out of fruit without adding sugar to them.
And I want to make it clear here, you're not just saying replace sugar with honey or maple syrup or stevia or saccharin or whatever. You're taking that category out, right? What are you turning to instead?
Yeah. So, well, I call them sweet ingredients, because I don't call my way of doing things, I don't call what I use sweeteners, because their only purpose isn't to make things sweet. But I wanted to seek out ingredients that had flavors that made sense in recipes, as well as bringing their inherent sweetness to make things. Obviously, we want desserts and things to be sweet, so we need that sweetness. But I also want the flavor that comes along with all the fruits and different kinds of flowers and nuts and things that I use.
And now, as you mentioned, Brian, this has been years in the making, and you're off the beaten path with a lot of the stuff you're doing. There have been a lot of experiments. I'm guessing there are some experiments that didn't pan out along the way.
Yeah, there were. yeah, so it was years of experimenting. Every recipe really was like a new experiment. Because I wasn't working on just like a formula that of a single replacement for sugar. Yeah, I had to approach every recipe as an experiment. And yeah, in the beginning, especially, there were things that didn't work out so well. Like, it was usually when I approached a new category of dessert, like cake or cookie, or trying meringues. Meringues were a big failure. There are some things, one of the things that I learned along the way that was that there are certain things that you should use sugar for, such as meringue. But yeah, eventually, like I felt like I cracked some codes working with different kinds of ingredients and got a good collection of different categories of desserts to work out really well.
Well, let's get a taste of one of them. You've shared a few recipes with us. We've got them at WPR.org/Food Friday. Let's start off with a rosemary lemon shortbread. What goes into this? What did it take to make it work?
Well, this is one of the ingredients that was like a real revelation for me, which is freeze-dried sweet corn. so I use the things that, and in every recipe, after the head note, it has a little what makes it sweet section, so you know what's going into the recipe that is making it sweet. And for the rosemary lemon shortbread, there's freeze-dried sweet corn and date powder. Now, the freeze-dried sweet corn it's really got all the flavor and sweetness of fresh summer corn on the cob. And all that flavor gets kind of concentrated when all the moisture is taken out of it through the freeze drying process. And, you know, but all of the nutrition is left in it. And it just has a lot more corn flavor than an ingredient like cornmeal or corn flour, the kind of stuff that we use for polenta, because that's actually made with a different kind of corn that isn't as sweet or flavorful. Anyway, so when I started using freeze-dried sweet corn, that was a really great discovery for me. And then the date powder, of course, is it's whole dates. It's called date sugar also because that's probably a more marketable term, but it's not actually a distilled sugar. It's just it's whole dates that are just blended into a powder. But yeah, so it's got dates, corn, rosemary, flour, butter.
Sure.
I don't, as much as I didn't want to use, as much as I have healthward leanings, I still use butter and flour. I have alternatives for these kinds of things, but I'm not trying to replace everything in a
Fair enough.
conventional recipe.
It's Food Friday. We're talking to Brian Levy about his new cookbook, Good and Sweet, baking delicious sweet treats, but without adding sugar or the common sugar substitutes, trying to get the natural sweetness out of delicious ingredients, often, but not only, fruit-related ingredients. Let's go to your calls now at 800-642-1234. Rebecca is with us in Newton. Rebecca, hi.
Yes, hi. Thanks for taking my call. I am really interested in this because I've been sugar-free now for over 5 years. I did have a lapse where I went back to sugar for a few months, but then I stopped eating it again. I don't eat any fruit either, though. So the ingredients that I use when I bake for Christmas, and I make cookies, I make cakes, I make cheesecake, I use monk fruit, powdered monk fruit, which I get on the internet. It's not cheap, but it's a good sugar replacement from a fruit, and it has no calories and no carbohydrates. So I use that, and then I use almond flour because I don't eat carbohydrates much. But I have a cheesecake that is out of this world, and nobody knows that it has no sugar. I served it to many, many, many people. No one knows. They love it.
Rebecca,
So I was wondering what he thinks about that.
Rebecca, thanks for the call. I think monk fruit, that is one of the sweeteners you avoid, Brian, but correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah, so that just wasn't the approach. That just wasn't the route I wanted to
Right.
go in my. I looked at all those kinds of sweeteners, the sugar alternatives like monk fruit and stevia, erythritol, or however you pronounce that. The thing with those things was I just found that they were. I just wanted to use foods that like. We actually know what they look like and what their flavors are and where they come from. And I was looking for more of a whole food approach. And my goal wasn't necessarily to make things free of sugar because there is, of course, naturally occurring sugars in all these recipes. I just wanted it all to come along with something else, like all the fruit that goes into these recipes brings along with it all these nutrients, like namely fiber and vitamins and antioxidants. All these nutrients that are make the sugar. Well, first of all, the more of like a in like a the philosophy kind of deal was that I just wanted it to be a kind of whole food approach. And with all those nutrients that come along with the fruits, it does change the way your body processes the sugar. So like it doesn't hit your bloodstream as quickly as a bunch of cane sugar does.
Thanks for that
But
call. And I wanted to ask Brian, in addition to like the health benefits of, cutting back on the sugar, obviously, can you talk about the flavor benefits? We're maybe tasting those ingredients that if even if we used them in the first place, would have been drowned out by that, whatever, half cup of sugar.
yeah. So like let's say the sticky toffee pudding, which is on the cover of the book, that was one of the first things I t tested because that's just always been one of my favorite desserts. And it's just the, it's kind of this brown, sugary, buttery, chewy, sticky thing that you wouldn't really think of not adding sugar to, but it does, the traditional recipe does have dates in the cake. So I just really amped up those dates and they end up kind of being the star of the show. And then there are things like in a fig crumble, I use in the topping, I use dried white mulberries, which are actually a relative of the fig. So they really complement the flavor of the figs and add to it, and just have the perfect texture for the crumble topping. So it was a lot of fun discovering new ingredients that I had never used before, like the white mulberries, and using things that I had used before, but in a totally different way.
We're talking to Brian Levy. It's Food Friday. His new cookbook is Good and Sweet, a book about baking with naturally sweet ingredients, often but not only fruits in various shapes, sizes, and forms, instead of, you know, that half cup of sugar or common sugar replacements. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Have you tried doing something like this? Do you have a favorite pastry that is, you know, lower at least on the added sugar or other sweeteners? Do you have a question about how to make a particular kind of delicious treat in this way? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We've got a few recipes from Brian, by the way, over at WPR.org/Food Friday. We'll continue the conversation coming up here on Central Time. It's Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up our talk with Brian Levy, pastry cook, author of the cookbook Good and Sweet. He's joining us for Food Friday to talk about his alternatives to using sugar in pastry making and dessert making. His challenge over the last bunch of years, not just cut out the sugar, but not just replace the sugar either. Find naturally sweet ingredients and do what we can with those flavors. And you can join in at 800-642-1234. If you've tried something like this yourself, if you like the notion, you want his advice or inspiration to try to do something like this at home, join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Let's bring on another caller now. Doug is with us in Colfax. Doug, hello.
Hi. For the last few years, my wife has substituted half the sugar and pecan pie with honey from our own hives. I just wonder what your guests thought about using honey for a substitute for sugar.
Well, I love
Thank
that
you.
It's super locally sourced, Doug. That's fantastic. Now, Brian, I'm guessing, again, with your experiment, honey, I think, was mostly off the table. What do you think about that? And if you were tackling pecan pie, what kind of things would you try to do to make it sweet?
Yeah, so I didn't use honey in these recipes. I love honey, but it's not in terms of what it's composed of. It's not all that different from sugar, and it kind of a big thing of this was the challenge of seeing how far I could go with ingredients that weren't like near pure sugars, which would include things like honey and maple syrup and agave nectar. First of all, when I want the like a flavor that's reminiscent of honey, I do use bee pollen in recipes in the book, which is what it sounds like. It's little pellets of pollen that are that bees collect and bring to the hive, and they kind of look like multicolored sprinkles and have a slightly sweet, but not as sweet as honey flavor. And yeah, just a nice floral honey flavor. And then I do have a pecan pie. I have a derby pie in the book, which is a pecan pie with chocolate at the bottom. And for that, like, gooey pecan pie filling, dates were really the perfect thing for that. They, you know, pureed dates are pretty much the texture and flavor of what you want that, you know, gooey filling to be. So it's mostly dates in the pecan pie.
Fantastic, Doug, and I bet you know where to find some bee pollen. Thanks for calling in at 800-642-1234. Marie joins us now in Eau Claire. Marie, hi.
Hi.
What did you want to tell us about, Marie?
Well, I was expecting guests who are vegan, and I thought, well, what if I use some coconut milk and maybe some almond milk and some mangoes? And I think probably just those three things. I might have added sugar, but I'm not sure that I needed to. And I can't remember exactly what I did to the mango, if I just cut it into the boiling stuff or if we added it after we made the pudding, but it worked out really well. Maybe I used a little bit of tapioca balls. I should have written it down, but everybody loved it anyway.
Yeah, you should have written it down. It sounds really good to me. And the final product was a pudding, Marie, right?
It was, yeah.
Sorry, so Brian, go ahead.
Stirring it on the stove, yeah.
I was just going to say, the great thing about coconut milk, I use a lot of it in the book because it actually is sweeter than dairy milk. So it's a really helpful ingredient when you're trying to avoid adding sugar to things. Because in addition to the nice, subtle coconut flavor it gives, it is also fairly sweet.
All right, Marie, back to the lab and recreate that one. Thanks so much for sharing that with us today. Talking to Brian Levy on Food Friday. His new cookbook is called Good and Sweet. Baking, without sugar in our desserts, but also without a lot of the stuff we would replace sugar with, getting the flavor of sweet ingredients, the fruits, and more. Hey, let's check out, Brian, another recipe you shared with us at WPR.org/Food Friday, the perfect currant scone. Tell us about this one.
Oh, yeah. So in the scone, really, it's just the right amount of dried currants that make up all give it all the sweetness that it needs. That's a pretty simple one to to make sweet. And then I have some variations on that recipe. I have a chestnut flour currant scone, which chestnut flour is actually pretty sweet. And so I use that in a bunch of recipes. And when you add that to the scones, in addition to bringing a delicious smoky chestnut flavor, it also sweetens it up.
Let's go back to our callers. Dennis is with us in Afton, Minnesota. Dennis, hi.
Oh yeah, hi everybody. Thanks you and your guest. I mentioned I'm drying apples today. And I use them in soup. I've been doing that for quite some time, or throw them alongside of a chicken in the pan or whatever, you know, just use them anywhere. But my real question is, your guest mentioned that you have the freeze-dried corn. I wonder if you do your own freeze-drying, if you have the equipment for doing that, and where you got the equipment if you do.
Yeah, no, I don't have the equipment for that. I looked into it, and it's expensive. But the good thing is that freeze-dried fruits and vegetables seem to be popping up more and more all over the place, like at stores where, you know, from anything from a health food store to Whole Foods to Target and Trader Joe's actually has really great prices on freeze-dried fruits. So, it's nice to hear your drying apples, because that's a really great ingredient that I use in a lot of these recipes.
Dennis,
I do dry those on my own.
Dennis, thanks a lot. Enjoy those apples. Susie joins us now in New Berlin. Susie, hi.
Hi. I might have told you about this before, but I have a recipe from the Chiquita Banana Cookbook for using bananas in pumpkin pie instead of sugar.
Oh, that does ring
really
a bell, Susie.
Good.
And I think I said last time, that sounds really good. And bananas are also in your arsenal, Brian.
Oh, they are. I use, fresh bananas, freeze-dried bananas. I have a banana pudding, like a traditional Southern banana pudding with that you normally would use the Nilla wafers in it, but I make what I call Nana wafers. And the thing that sweetens them is I pulverize freeze-dried banana. So it's kind of like that's starchy and sweet. So it acts as kind of a flour and a sugar. And then in my pumpkin pie, I actually use to forget the last caller's name, but sorry.
Susie, yeah.
But the gentleman.
Oh yeah.
My pumpkin pie is one thing that I use dried apples in.
Oh, awesome. Susie, thanks a lot.
That banana sounds interesting.
Definitely. Susie, thanks a lot for sharing that with us. Brian, what's next in your pastry experimentation?
Well, I'm actually doing some research I'm not ready to go public with it, but I'm doing research for another cookbook.
Excellent. Well, Brian, thanks so much for sharing these recipes with us today.
Thanks so much for having me.
We're talking to Brian Levy, pastry cook, author of the new cookbook, Good and Sweet. He joins us today to talk about that cookbook. Got recipes that substitute things like fruits and other sweet ingredients for added sugar and all of those other sweeteners that you might replace sugar with. Well, there's still time for you to do, a couple things. Let us know if you've tried things like this at home. Head over to the Ideas Network Facebook page and share your favorites. With recipes and pictures, if available, unless you're just winging it, then you just tell us about them. And you could check out a few recipes from Brian. We've got them up at WPR.org/Food Friday. You heard about the rosemary lemon shortbread that's up there, the perfect currant scone, and there's one bonus one we didn't even get to on the air, the pistachio studded peach galette. That one sounds really good, too. I've got some frozen peaches around. That might be something I'll want to try. So check them out. Again, they're at WPR.org/Food Friday and share your own home experimentation online on the Ideas Network Facebook page.